Hello, listeners. My name is Mark. If you have been enjoying the Listener Lore episodes, please come over to my separate podcast feed, Lorehammer Listener Lore. On this daily podcast channel, I will be reading one story a day and sharing your creative works with others and giving my feedback at the end. So, if you like grimdark 40k short stories, come join me at Lorehammer Listener Lore, the 40k podcast where you get to write the script.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Well, hello and welcome back to Lorehammer. My name is Eric.
Hey, I'm Mark.
Thank you, Mark.
Hey, guy.
Hello. Hi. Thanks for joining us, Mark. Also joining us today is someone we haven't seen, heard from in a long time. And I'm assuming it's just because he thought we weren't friends anymore.
I think it probably has to do with, I don't want to follow you to Spotify exclusive anymore.
Yeah.
So he's probably, that's why he hasn't joined it. But, you know, you pay somebody enough money, they join.
Exactly.
You. Welcome.
Everyone sells out. You know what? Maybe we shouldn't talk about him while he's here. Peter, wow, thanks so much for joining us today.
I really thought that conversation we had was going to stay off the podcast. Yeah. But I mean, that's fine. If you want to just go there right off the bat.
Don't worry, we do three or four takes each time, and we pick the best one. This one will not be.
Oh, perfect. We'll change it in post.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
And the final guest we have today
is Small Kitten.
Small Cat. I got a little kitten the other day, and for the low price of $2 on our Patreon, you can look at the Small Cat.
Honestly,
she is so nestled on the table in a blanket.
There has never been a better reason to get video access to our podcast than this cat right here. So, oh no, the disturbance of Small Cat. Oh, Small Cat. Oh, and there Mark is showing Small Cat to the camera.
Oh, we can talk about the show while people listen.
Oh, yeah.
thoroughly disturbed.
Okay.
This is a Listener Lore episode. So what we're going to do is we're going to read a couple submissions from people about the story of their, you know, their armies or just short stories that they've written. And then we're going to critique them and tell them how terrible they are.
Yep. And oh boy, do we got some doozies of a terrible story writing abilities. There's a lot of blue
today?
And red. Yeah, there's a lot of blue and red squiggly lines on these notes.
Excellent.
So
It always feels good knowing that other people are just as bad as I am. Anyways, let's dive right in. I guess I'll read the first one.
No, you should read the middle one.
Okay, fine. Who's going to read the first one?
Peter should.
Yeah.
Peter, sounds like then he can read the last one as well.
Right, yeah.
Perfect. all right, yeah. No. I'm ready. I'm prepared. And this one is written by Hugh.
Oh, I'm sorry. Just in case we didn't warn you before we started, we now have promised all our listeners that we're going to do very unique voices for all the different people in them.
Too many people heard cold open stories and like, why don't Lorehammer do
it? Exactly.
So we're up in production quality.
That's right.
Here.
So I'm going to need you to really like
you
110.
Gotta sell it.
Oh, I need to believe that I'm in 40K.
All right.
I want to feel like I know Hugh as a person afterwards.
Okay.
No pressure, though, right?
I'll just launch right into it, not having listened to you guys do this. I'll just go for it. All right. Are we ready? This is by Hugh. Archmagos.
It's nice. Carry that tone through the whole thing.
Oh, my gosh. You know what I realized? Our lighting isn't on.
Oh. Okay, Peter, take her away.
All right. Archmagos, Affy McNilex, was tired. His shoulders weighed heavy, despite his many supportive servos. His mind felt clouded regardless of the powerful cogitator in his cranium, and his every joint ached and moaned with movement. Unceasing battle for half a decade will do that to any man. However, little of that man may be left made flesh. There was fortunate news in recent months. The Mechanicus forces have been regaining ground from their biological invaders across the planet, albeit slowly, but at a great cost. The once good, pious world of Zurich IV had turned to heresy most vile, their workshops producing abominations unworthy of life. All this at the desperate order of Archmagos McNilex. He knew his actions were irredeemable, and he had doomed the entirety of this forge world to an existence of scorn, if they were lucky. Knowing of both the Imperium's and the Adeptus Mechanicus's treatment of traitors and heretics, it was far more likely that every man, woman, and child on the planet would suffer a slow and agonizing death. But that was a problem for later. The encroaching tide of inhuman muscle and claw was a far more pressing threat. One of the Magi in charge of the night production and maintenance had requested to speak directly with McNilex on grounds of having urgent business with the Archmagos. He had lamented to himself that everybody appeared to have urgent business with him in these days of bloodshed. He was too tired for urgent business. He went nonetheless. There was no need to add sloth to his list of sins. Acknowledgement, Archmagos Affy McNilex has arrived. Greetings, I am Magus Damgun, overseer of night product. I'm aware of your duties, Magos, but not the nature of your urgent business. Speak quickly, for you are not the only one who desires my attention. Affirmative. Additional duties recognized. Announcement of core point. We have zero night pilots in our service. We what? Uncertainty detected. Repeating for clarity. We have zero. I heard what you said, Magos, but I did not fully grasp your meaning. Did we not have the full support of House Franks in our defense? Clarification. Support of allied Knight House depleted. Majority of Knight pilots slain in combat. Remainder call claim. All right, I'm just going to start this whole paragraph again. Clarification. Support of allied Knight House depleted. Majority of Knight pilots slain in combat. Remainder claim our efforts are futile. Declare us heretics both. Majority of surviving members of the Noble House status abandoned Zurich 4. Majority of vessels used status destroyed by crossfire from orbital conflict. Remaining members 2 wounded refusing to fight. Current status of House Franks destroyed non-functional. Primary error found. Large Xenos bioforms present difficulty to eradicate without Knight class ordinance. Probability of Xenos victory, our demise, vastly increased. McNilex was lost. Even with his damning decree to use Xenos flesh to accelerate the production of war machines, support of the Knight House and the deployment of their towering war machines had proved invaluable to the conflict so far. And now it was all for naught. He had banked the entire Forge World's survival on a wild gambit that for a while had almost given him hope, and yet now defeat was staring him in the face again. Despite his best efforts, they were all still going to die, only now they didn't even have the light of the machine god to comfort them. It would have brought him to tears if he still had the relevant ducks. The heavily synthesized voice of Magos Damgun snapped McNihilus back to reality. Request. Would Arch Magos Afi McNihilus listen to a suggestion of mine? Please speak. I would heed any sage advice offered at this time. She bows her head slightly. Honor acknowledged. Proceeding. Suggestion. I possess in-depth knowledge of the workings of a knight. Additionally, I possess rudimentary knowledge of the technique to pilot a knight. Additionally, multiple functional knights still accessible on Zurich 4. Conclusion. If necessary, I would be able to stand in as knight pilot in the absence of suitable house nobles. A ray of hope, perhaps. However, I appreciate the sentiment, Afi said, and yet I doubt a single knight could win this for us at this point, however skilled you may be. Clarification. I am not the only Magos suitable for this position. Current confirmed number of volunteers, 6. Probability of recruiting additional pilots, 96%. Estimated total number of pilots, greater than 20? Greater than 20.
The Pac-Man eats the bigger number.
Right. At long last, a glimmer in the darkness. The faintest silver sliver of hope flickered in McNihilus, near what was once a heart. Do you believe you can fulfill our need for knight house support? Affirmative. Presence of functional knights confirmed. Presence of potential pilots confirmed. Probability of deployment assisting war effort extremely high. Permission to begin operations from Arch Magos not granted. Requesting permission to field knights with Mechanicus pilots in progress. Permission granted. From now on, I declare that you, the first Magos, are amigo. Take what knights we have and what knights we may yet produce. They and any suitable pilots you locate are under your care and direct command. Do not waste this opportunity. Again, Damgun bowed her head, albeit lower this time. Affirmative. Promotion received and processed. Elation registered. Request? Permission to depart and begin preparations? With a small nod from the senior Archmagos, Damgun skittered away, already producing a faint crackle of vox chatter as she relayed the important details of their conversation to various other members of the Forge World. Similarly, McNihilus turned and moved on, heading to deal with 1,000 other issues that clamored and roared for his attention. Archmagos Afi McNihilus was tired. His shoulders weighed heavy despite his many supportive servos. His mind felt clouded, regardless of the powerful cogitator in his cranium, and his every joint ached and moaned with movement. And yet, despite all of this, he wasn't ready to give in just yet.
Ooh, nice. That was pretty cool. I'm a sucker for knights. What were they fighting? It seemed like they're fighting Tyranids. They kept on going like muscle.
Yeah, I pictured Tyranids as well.
And like Talon or something. What was the line?
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely in there.
Something about the advancing.
There were words spoken.
The large approaching tide of inhuman muscle and claw.
Yeah.
Large Xenos bioforms, they call them.
Cool. What a cool kind of way to kind of get a new house, night house kind of working. And like,
well, not only a night house, like a Mechanicus night house.
Yeah. Piloted by a bunch of Magos. That's kind of cool. Yeah. I like it.
I wouldn't be surprised if all these models were just like wires and stuff hanging from them, and obviously cogs very and Mechanicus weapons and armor plates and stuff.
Better. And if not, he should go, or she should go to Shapeways. Hugh, that's a guy, I'm going to guess. He should go to Shapeways and get a bunch of knight stuff. You can get these badass like cog shoulder pads and like cog banners. And
yeah, I could really see you really heavily leaning into the Mechanicus conversion aspect for these knights.
Maybe instead of like a chain sword, they have like an actual big like Mechanicum axe somehow. You know what I mean? Like could do some pretty cool stuff.
I like that.
Yeah.
I do like though that in this McNihilus, he's kind of what's it called when you send yourself to, he's consigning himself to heresy, really. Like, he already did it. He said he used, like, Xenos life forms to accelerate the growth of production for some of his creations, which I assume would help fight back these aliens. Yeah. So, but he already, like, accepts the fact that he's kind of outside of the allowed.
Yeah, either you die or you live long enough to become a heretic, and he's going to live long enough to become a heretic.
Exactly. Yeah, no, it's, I really like the, like, his resigned fate, really. I think that's probably something that we don't see very often. A lot of the times 40K is like a struggler's world.
Yeah,
you always constantly struggle, and then
you're always the last stand. Yeah.
Like, there's, but in this one, he's kind of, it's, I don't know, it's like he's bending enough to be like, well, you know what? I'm going to do what I can, even though I know what it's wrong to do. So I really like that part of it. But I like that it's, he doesn't come across as evil or corrupted or heretical at all. He's kind of just saying, like, well, the Forge World needs to survive, and I'm going to do whatever it takes. So
that's the first step down damnation. that's what they all say, Eric.
I know. Poor Lowell, Archmakos McNihilus. Obviously, we're going to put him down, but...
It was a good guy.
He was such a good guy. Yeah, that was really cool. What did you think, Peter?
Yeah, no, it was good. I didn't really understand what was going on for most of it.
But you read it well, and that's what counts.
But I read it. I read the words that were written there. I mean, it was pretty well written, and...
Oh, yeah, it definitely wasn't, it was in our top half, probably, of well-written stories, I would say.
Yeah, yeah, no, it was good.
I like the title that has now been given to these Knight Magos.
Yeah,
the
Magos
Armigio?
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 Armigio? Armigio?
I wonder if that means anything.
Well, it sounds like Armiger.
I know, but who knows? Yeah. Armigers are a relatively new model.
Hmm. Yeah, I declare you the first Magos Armigio, however you want to say that. But it's, correct me if I'm wrong, but how would a Magos know that they can pilot a knight?
It might just be like a willpower thing. Like, that's kind of what it is. How do you measure willpower? Who knows? Just you determine population. I don't know.
Yeah, because in one of her lines, in Damgun's lines, she says, I possess in-depth knowledge of the workings of a knight. That makes sense, right? Because obviously she has to work on the knights. Additionally, I possess rudimentary knowledge of the technique to pilot a knight. I wonder if like rudimentary knowledge is just plug in this. Right, because you just plug yourself into the throne mechanic.
Yeah, exactly. Right? That it pretty much.
That's my knowledge. Yeah, I'm curious, sir. I like to think that Damgun has always dreamt of piloting a knight,
and she's now like, yeah.
She's like, I can do this. Like, put me in, coach. Like, get me off the bench.
Yeah. I think Damgun is one of those examples of you write something, and then when you read it out loud, I almost cracked up when I read
Damgun?
The first time. Yeah, because
Damgun,
that's quite the 40K name. I mean, it fits. It's very, very 40K.
No, I did definitely smile as soon as I saw that. Yeah.
All right, so I Googled Armigio meaning.
Yeah.
And then very first thing that came up was a Reddit post where this guy posted his lore on Reddit.
Oh.
So there's a couple comments on there. I'll read them off so everyone can know what that's all about. Uh-oh. Love the lore behind it, but they would they be able to survive the trial, which the pilots of knights basically interlinking themselves with the machine spirit. So then the author says, oh yeah. And because they're all admech and bonkers, they'd probably end up completely impermanently fusing with it until they'll never actually leave the knights, losing their souls and minds to fuse with the machine spirit forevermore. But that didn't feel right to fit that into story, so that's just some background lore. So then, that's a decent response. Another guy writes, this breaks so many laws and admech traditions, but given a group of radical enough magi and some desperate situations, which you have provided, it makes sense to me. Really good fan lore. And then the final one is, I'm a bot, beep, boop, boop. Someone has linked to this thread.
Yeah.
So that's not bad. That's kind of cool that,
I love the idea of them getting lost in it, and 100% makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, we just did our Titan episode, and we talked a lot about what it meant, like, as the creation of a Titan, and what that meant to, like, the Mechanicus, and what it would mean, like, a princeps, and, like, what it... like the honor given to the role of someone who like pilots it. And a knight is really just like Titan Mini.
Yeah.
Really.
A lot of the tech is the same for sure.
Yeah. Even like the, it really just looks like a shrunk down or expand exploded model. Right. So, but yeah, to go into the Throne Mechanicum and then to lose yourself in it, like, would it even be a contest, or would they just willingly welcome this, it to like overtake them,
and now
right?
they're part of the machine.
Yeah
This is cool. I like it.
I do. I
I'd
really
like to see some pictures
one. Yeah, of some Mechanicus knights.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Wow,
please.
Mark asking for pictures of knights. Who would have guessed?
I'll satiate myself. Yeah, I'll just do some.
Well, thank you, Hugh, for sharing that. That was very cool.
Yeah, it's nice.
Okay, I'm gonna read the next one, written by Sean, who gave us a little foreword. It says, for context, this is backstory for a heretic Astartes kill team using a cultist champion as a leader. So that's the backstory. This is backstory for a heretic Astartes kill team. Colonel Jeremiah Radigan crouched behind the shattered wall of the Basilica, cradling the shotgun that had become his constant companion since he had taken it from the corpse of one of those filthy Xenos cultists they had encountered on Draenax II. A commissar would have called it cowering, but luckily for the rat, no commissar would ever accompany the remains of his regiment again. He had served the Astartes of the resplendent Talon's second company for 6 years now, and his masters for decades before that, and they were all of the Emperor's justice he and his men needed. His weapon would dispense his own justice to those enemies who managed to make it past his comrades. Radigan concentrated on the sound the shotgun made as he loaded fresh shells into it, his singular focus allowing him to ignore the screams of Trooper Pylo as his Flamer's Promethium tank ignited just a few meters away. Milos would save him, he was sure. The captain always did. In the years since the debacle with General Markesh, Radigan had been sure to make himself indispensable to the Astartes, as his masters had ordered him. He had always lived to serve, after all, starting with his tithing to the Astra Militarum. He hadn't yet grown enough hair on his face to shave, but he could hold a lasgun, and that was enough. Until it wasn't. Though he had been sure he would never forget the creatures he had seen through the battlefield smoke so many campaigns ago, he found he could no longer form their image in his mind. His masters had made sure of that, though as they did not need the likes of him repeating details of those half-formed things that clawed at his memory on the nights he lay awake. He knew that they had done something to him, however, as they had told him as such. His masters never lied to him, after all. Not about the demons he had managed to survive, not about their mission for the Emperor's Holy Inquisition, nor their reasons for wearing the colors of one of the hated traitor legions in the prosecution of their aims. What little recall he could muster steeled his nerves, as the things were no doubt much worse than anything these heretics could conjure. His mind returned to the situation at hand, and he found himself firing his shotgun into the fleshless torso of the mechanical construct that had slain Pylo. He thanked the Emperor for the training that the Astra Militarum had instilled in him over his service. So finely tuned were his reflexes that even in the depths of his nostalgia, he was still a talented killer. The creature, a Sicarian, he had heard Brother Semyon call it, shrugged off the blast of the shotgun and reared up, brandishing its power sword at him and screeching blasphemies in its machine tongue. He thanked the Emperor again when Milos' form appeared from the other side of the wall, slamming into the creature before crushing what passed for its skull with his power fist. The captain spared a glance over his shoulder and growled at him. "Forward, rat! There is no fighting to be done in this hole of yours." Radigan suppressed a shiver and nodded, scrambling over the walls before spotting his next bit of cover. The captain had grown more aggressive over the course of their mission, almost eschewing his bolt rifle entirely in favor of slaughtering his foes up close. Hadn't his cape been blue once? Radigan wondered to himself. Its hue now matched the deepening red visible in the captain's eyes on the days he chose to leave his helmet behind. As Radigan slammed his shoulder against the side of the abandoned Munitorum container they had come here for in the first place, he dared to stick his head out to scan the battlefield. Sergeant Mayhew was leading an assault on the Skitari commander, his bellowed orders clearly audible over the revving of his chainsword. The heretic was firing wildly at the encroaching guardsman, raising its blade in preparation. Trooper Iko's head vanished as one of the traitor's shots connected, but in the next instant it was buried under a tide of the Emperor's finest. Radigan looked on the sacrifice with pride. His men were loyal to the end, and so he was able to overlook their growing fascination with the grim trophies of battle. There was a deafening blast of static, followed by silence as the battle calmed, though it was only a split second before Brother Semyon's heavy bolter opened up on the fleeing heretics. It seemed like an eternity to Radigan, and he again allowed his mind to wander. When his masters told him that he and the men who remained in his command would be accompanying Captain Milos and the survivors of his company on their mission to destroy the secret enemies of the Imperium of Man, those most cowardly of foes that hid in plain sight, he naturally obeyed without question. A good trooper never questioned his superiors, and his masters were superior to him indeed. Though their numbers had dwindled over the years, the Space Marines who had taken to calling themselves the Expunged seemed to only grow more dedicated and ferocious in the prosecution of their cause. Captain Milos himself had grown more accustomed to accepting Radigan's advice and tactical assessments, preferring to engage the enemies they encountered with the rest of his men. As Milos charged on after the routed survivors, Radigan ordered his men to begin cataloging the spoils of this battle. His masters had made it clear that he couldn't replenish their supplies through traditional channels any longer, and so he had become adept at scavenging whatever he could from their fallen foes. They had long ago learned that a heretic's auto pistol would fire just as surely as one bestowed upon them by the clerks of the Munitorum. In the silence that followed the battle, Radigan won.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Wondered when his masters would call upon him again. He hadn't been told how long they would be serving with Captain Milos and his brothers, and Radigan hadn't asked. His lot was to serve and obey, and his masters would be sure he had all the information he needed to do just that. He had only asked one question the day the Inquisitor had saved him from the creatures he would come to know as demons. Who are you? His master, first among equals of those who had rescued him, those he had served in the time since, removed his helmet and offered a comfortless smile before replying, I am Alpharius.
Dun, dun, dun.
Gasp.
Okay, so this was a story about loyalists who basically are being conned into tricking other loyalists, but now they're traitors and now Alpha Legion?
I mean, it's Alpha Legion, so that tracks.
Okay, perfect.
It's full of confusing little lops. Okay, so this guy, Radigan,
yeah.
I gotta wrap my head around it too. So Radigan he's just a human.
Yeah, I think he's like a loyalist who's following traitors, and like his men are becoming more and more corrupt and taking like grim trophies and stuff. And it almost seems like the Alpha Legion are like trying to corrupt this guard regiment.
Exactly, or at least using them for their own purposes.
So he
encountered some demons, and he believes an Inquisitor saved him.
Yeah.
But really it's Alpharius, and who we know as a Primarch, right?
Fuck.
Of course.
As soon as I heard, oh, Alfarious, I was like, whoa, that's what that means.
Yeah, Alfarious is a Chaos Primarch.
Oh, that's bad.
You don't want that.
No. Definitely not posing as an Inquisitor, for sure.
The one thing is, like, so Alfarious is the leader of the Alpha Legion, and the Alpha Legion, everyone in there calls himself Alfarious. So most likely this is not actually Alfarious, but it is.
Says you.
He said he was Alfarious.
Well, Alfarious was killed. Or was it Omega? Hard to say.
Hard to say. Who knows? It's the Alpha Legion.
Who knows?
Cut off one head, two more grow to take its place. But yeah, it definitely tracks that this is just a regular guy who is slowly being pushed towards this chaos, really. And it's like, in a world of 40K, the different, the line between killing for the Emperor and just killing for chaos can be very, very thin. And in some ways, it can sometimes feel like you have a foot on both sides.
Sure.
And then on others, you know, you're gone completely. Really? So
I feel like you're talking from personal experience over there or something.
I'm just thinking of Archmagos McNihilix and his slow, slow descent. Oh, no. And I just think, what are these sad characters that we're reading about right now? Yeah, I really like it. I like the fact that he is convinced that what he's doing is right.
Sure, sure.
There's something nice about, like, that innocence and naivety.
Sure.
Or naivete, I don't know how to say it, that you find in, like, these characters that just, you know, they come in, I clock in, punch out, do my duty, they listen to my master, and, you know, they'll take care of everything. And then for someone to, like, abuse that trust, it really just turns it into, like, a tragic story. And I like that. I like the... It's not just about, like, death and murder. It's about this one guy who's about to have his soul consumed by chaos. And he didn't even know it, you know?
It read pretty nice, too.
It did, yeah. There were a couple parts where I was... I feel like... So, okay, they're assaulting Skitarii.
Yeah.
And I like that he's not... he's convinced that he's still doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Even after he was like, we had to put on the traitor colors, but I listened because I'm a good soldier. Yeah.
Oh, what a wonderful man Radagan is.
I just like the part where he's talking about how, like, his cape was, like, just stained with blood.
Mm. Yeah, wasn't it blue at some point?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's a good line.
But it just made me think about, yeah, like, anybody that's wearing a cape on the battlefield in 40K.
Yeah.
Like... How does it stay blue? I mean, that thing's gonna, like, I was just thinking of, I went sidetracked to the people who are, like, washing the capes, like,
the servitors.
Yeah. Gotta get this back to blue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they now, have a really good stain remover in 40.
They would have
You'll
to,
be happy
yeah.
to know they have something called water slick, and it actually slicks away water or moisture.
It's called beeswax, and we have it in these days, Mark.
Really?
Yes.
How do you acquire it?
I don't know.
Because I can really.
It's
put
a
it
myth. It's definitely like a mythical.
You
like
have to go on a
super science. Yeah, you have to go on a quest to get
some beeswax.
Yeah, where are the bees? Who knows? You have to go find the bees first because they're disappearing at an alarming rate, guys. Yeah. Anyways, I really like that. Obviously, it's about a kill team, so it's a heretic Astartes kill team.
Yeah.
So Radagan is just a human, and I like the fact that he kind of views himself as, I don't know, I think he's really proud of himself, too. There's that line where he talks about how the guy is taking his advice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, like, fights with him, and I think for a regular human to be on equivalent speaking terms with a space marine is probably pretty rare.
Yeah, it'd make you feel pretty good, too.
Yeah, absolutely. I like that. I like the fact that this story is about some guy who kind of... I don't think he thinks he's the same as a space marine, but he definitely has a familiarity with them, which is not how I normally see them. So it's cool.
Nice. Anything else?
Just looking through it again.
Forward rat.
Yeah, no, I liked that his nickname was Rat.
The rat, and he's constantly hiding.
You're kind of thinking, okay, what's going on here? And then at the end, it's, yeah. Normally you wouldn't want to be
the rat.
You know?
Well, to each their own.
I mean, it's a rodent.
Like,
yeah.
Of all the things you could be called, I don't know that.
Right. I mean, rat is right up there with.
Yeah,
like,
no, I get
serpent.
It. You guys are speciest. I get
I would
it.
Just be like,
you don't like rats. Okay.
Yeah. Just call me Jeremiah. Please stop calling me Rat. I know my name is Rat again. Can we come up with anything else?
Unfortunately, I don't think they could.
What about again?
Nope. No. It's Rat and only Rat.
All right.
Very cool. I'm wondering what the outcome of this seditious behavior was. So he's serving with the expunged, I think he said.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to be
that's
with
a good name for a loyalist chapter.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that's not enough warning for you. So he's serving with the expunged, and he used to serve with the resplendent talons. Yeah, but I'm wondering what happened to the expunged and Radigan. Did the Alpha Legion turn them to chaos and, you know, welcome them as a war band? Was this whole thing just a trick for one of Alpha Legion's purposes? And then at the end of it, they just kill everyone and, like, watch them all drain down
the
drain?
No, he definitely turned them to loyalist heretics who want to kill the Emperor to save the Imperium for the good of mankind.
That's right.
So that's nice.
You know, that tracks.
Yeah.
It's about as complicated as Alpha Legion. So, yeah, I'm curious what the end of this was. Like, does the rat survive?
As long as he's serving and obeying.
Yeah, exactly.
I think he's probably still out there.
Good.
Good for the rat.
Good for the rat.
Good rat.
Nice.
Okay. Let's... Thank you. Who sent that in? Sean. Thank you, Sean, for sending that in.
Yeah.
And then I guess we have one more story, which we'll get Peter.
No, I'll take this one away because this one's actually my friend.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So this is Jason. He's the police officer that I've talked to for many
day one.
Years. Yeah, like one of the very first. So we're finally getting to his listener lore. That's how many we have backlogged.
I'm pretty sure this guy messaged us. Probably within the month of us first starting this podcast.
Yeah. So go check out his Instagram. It's called Black Rain Studios. He does a bunch of cool stuff. He's working on all these awesome crew. So if you want to go see some Jid's hands, go check out his crew.
It's like jazz hands, but not.
But for crew. So it's nice.
Yeah.
All right, here's his story. Okay, you win. But before you shoot me, you should know what it is you were sent to destroy. The rogue trader slowly backed away while maintaining eye contact with the front sights of the antique bolt pistol the Inquisitor was currently tracking with him. It reminded the rogue trader of a similarly beautiful one he had seen at a bootleg Obscura operation. But that was a story for another day, if another day comes. The rogue trader used his hands to gesture for permission to open the illegally unmarked biocontainer. The Inquisitor nodded, knowing that the next few seconds would involve a Xeno of unknown capability moving through the currently off-gassing opening in the side of the life-supporting crate, and the rapid assessment of his augmented reflexes would need to perform simultaneously. The young Inquisitor sent a surge of metal focus down his arm, willing his long nerve cells to swell with electro-differential potential. As an electrician, I can say that's not what happens.
It's real.
No.
It's real. Look it up, people.
Look it up! The warmth he felt along the path between his neck and the perfectly polished mouth of his bolter's growing barreled informed him he was ready. That's a sad...
Sorry, growing barrel. That got me.
Growling.
No. The warmth he felt?
Yeah.
Because of his growing barrel?
I don't even feel bad butchering this story. He should have known what he was getting into when he said
it. He knew.
He knew me.
That's right.
So that's on him. But what is this? There was another feeling, a sensation, a sudden knowing that wasn't there before. The young Inquisitor had completed his training. Like all those worthy of carrying his rosette, he had willed his mind to maintain a baseline psychic defense, a construct to buy him the time he needed to notice the insidious subtle symptoms of the attempted psychic intrusion. Whew. But this was different. The Inquisitor had not sensed a shift in balance, a missing lapse of time. There was no whispers that precluded the mental invasion. No, this can't be. His master had stated that there was always an initial period wherein the assailant would poke at a potential victim's mind, and that the reconnaissance phase was when they were the weakest. That was the moment an Inquisitor was trained to counter-strike. But that early molestation had faded the Inquisitor's notice, and the assailant was already inside. Unannounced, unnoticed. What are we reading? Ah, okay. Unannounced, unnoticed, and already undoing the silk ribbon that crisscrossed the door where the... Now there's silk?
Silk ribbons, too, yeah.
This is
I like it.
This is nice. That had crisscrossed the door where the Inquisitor had locked away his most private thoughts and memories. The Inquisitor returned to his consciousness, to the other physical... or to the outer physical world, to find the occupant of the crate was already standing before him, clearly camouflaging itself in an image meant to distract potential predators. The Inquisitor understood this not because he had read it in one of the tombs that was now dust amongst his debris of his former ship. He knew this because he was currently experiencing a lustful simulation that nearly crippled him with a throb. This is erotic. These are words.
I think
I'm just waiting for the busty Eldar goth chick to come out, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So as I was saying, experience
tell us more
lustful
about this
stimulation that nearly crippled him with a throb that accompanied the wave of newly diverted sensation. What was this? Warp trickery? Biological contagion? Electropathic manipulation? A whisper encircles the young Inquisitor as a vision went blank, and all time seems to stop. This was a new battlefield, one in and out of time, as shallow as a layer of dust and as infinite as the void itself. He was in the space between now. Come to me, the Inquisitor heard all around him. Feeling a tug on his very soul, the Inquisitor replied, "What are you, Xenos? Demon? Mutant? I hate them all, you know, for they wish to destroy man, to erase him from the universe. But they will fail so long as the Emperor sits on his throne." The Inquisitor felt a warmth cooling around his body like a warm embrace and spun around his mind's eye. "I also understand them, for they serve the hatred that unifies them. Wow, unifies them, rather than the petty bitterness that fuels individual agendas. I might even be able to describe them as loyal to a cause, but you wouldn't want to know what it's like, would you, to act in accordance with something greater than your own immediate wants? Something that could pass for breath feathered past the Inquisitor's face." Breathing on his neck now.
Yeah.
The Inquisitor continued.
"Join me. Join me.
No, you are filth and serve no master. You are a parasite looking only to fatten itself. And what do you feed upon, worm? Power? Essence? Pleasure? It doesn't matter. You are no threat to the Imperium, no threat to me. You are just a smear on it. And it is my insincere inconvenience to wipe you off the bottom of man's collective boot." That must be a typo. He could feel the entity's pulling weakening with every bold word of the Inquisitor spoke. The antique bolter in his hand seemed to moan with a desire to bark. Death moan.
What kind of moan are we? Like is that was that kind of moan, right? Yeah, that's my
yeah. That's what it is.
Oh, sorry, kitten. Oh,
that kitten just passed out. $2 on Patreon. You can see the cat. It's cute. Knowing his enemy was cunning, the Inquisitor bellowed, "My bolter pistol? No. Do not plead for this. This is a weapon, a tool of war. Those who oppose me earn the right to the glorious demise it delivers. No. When you need to scrape excrement off you, you don't use a bolter round. You use a stick, a long, dirty, blunt stick." At that moment, the Inquisitor zeroed in on the being's location in the nothing. He could feel the corporeal physical planes meet like a knotted vortex. With a flash, the Inquisitor struck out with his opposite hand, the electrified Crozarius striking home, splitting both matter and essence in a single blow. With a crack of an otherworldly static, the Inquisitor was back in the dark storage of hold of the Rogue Trader's vessel, standing alone aside from the chunks of viscera splattered across the hold and the now empty bio container at his feet. The Inquisitor said, "May the Magus find what, if any, value you attained in this life." His first real test outside the Ordo Xenos proving grounds concluded. His mind swung back to the investigation at hand. Now, where did that Rogue Trader run off to?
Nice. Okay, so this is the story of an Inquisitor going through training?
This might have been like the final test, but
It
wasn't
real.
Like a tame... Yeah, it was a real thing, I think.
Yeah.
Like there was a demon that he... Or a Xenos.
Some
that
Xenos
kill.
Thing that was trying to take over his mind.
Yeah, it was kind of cool. There was like this back and forth struggle. You can feel him pressing at the side of your mind and stuff.
Yeah, he constantly feels things that like aren't there. Obviously, the breath, the warmth... Mm-hmm. The growing of the barrel.
The moaning.
Right, yeah.
All the things you want from
all
the story.
All great things. Yeah, so what I don't... what I'm not fully on is the opening of it. So the Inquisitor's ship is destroyed. Is that something?
Yeah, and then he got picked up by a Rogue Trader, I thought.
Yeah, and then the Rogue Trader is just like, "Hey, you want to see what I got?"
You want to see?
Look at my stuff.
Look at my stuff.
Look at all my stuff. I think that's what's happening.
You got any Titans in here?
Yeah, exactly. I think that's what's happening.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah. And I like the fact that he was like, no, this isn't how it happens. There's always that like little probing.
Yeah.
That phase where you feel them going, but he was just entered without his... knowledge, I guess.
Consent is the word.
Yeah, it was a non-consensual entering for sure.
Yeah.
Not a good thing at all.
There's some bolt pistols, I guess. There was other words.
The bolt pistol was too good for him to use on the
I did like
game.
That.
Yeah. He's like, no. You don't deserve this. You just deserve a stick. I wonder, so that's the Crozius.
Yeah,
so the Inquisitor
had
a Crozius.
Yeah.
Okay. Do Inquisitors wield Croziuses?
Not typically.
I thought
but
it was,
who knows? It
yeah.
could be a gift or could have found it. There's a thousand reasons.
Sure, yeah. But that's not normal in there. Yeah, because that's normally a Space Marine chaplain's weapon.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
But you
right,
know,
Peter? Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah, you don't
chaplains.
Have to say it. You don't have to prove your knowledge to us. We know.
Right. No, the Crozius was electrified.
It's true. It's true.
Oh, man.
No, it's cool. I like the prying of the psychic defenses and stuff. It's kind of cool to see, like, the struggle.
Yeah. It's, I think all too often you see those struggles from the outside. You just see, like, oh, and they stared at each other intently. And the air was electric, and then one of them snapped.
Sure.
You know, you always see, like, an outsider's view. But I like that how he talks. It sounds like it was almost a pleasurable experience. And it.
Being able to like overcome it?
No. It almost sounds like the other person is trying to like tempt him,
right?
And like get him to lower his guard with this warmth, right? Mm. It sounds comforting, right?
Sure.
He described it as, or like a breath upon your neck. Like that sounds like a very intimate thing that you do.
A lustful you know? Stimulation.
Exactly. Yeah. It sounds like this whatever entity, this Xenos, whatever it is, it's really trying to lull the Inquisitor to a place of where their guard is down and where they can strike. And even if that's not what they're doing, maybe their entire purpose is just to give people warm feelings or whatever. Either way,
filthy Xenos,
right,
I hate them.
Exactly. Either way, it's a Xenos and it has to be put down. So, no, I like that moment where he's like, no, like I'm better than this. Like, you're just filthy man's right to rule. And I feel like that's exactly what an Inquisitor would be like. They're utterly convinced of man's divinity.
Yeah, that or they're heretic, one of the two.
Right.
They are either sure. the most or the most. So either side of the most.
Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah, it's nice.
It was good. I was just This is just one man's struggle in a galaxy of...
of lustful things. Of,
wow, I was going to say unknown horrors, but...
Oh!
Yours worse, too. Just... Oh, giving the kitten a little drink?
Yeah, for $2 you can see me give the kitten a little sip of water out of my cap.
And people dare say you've sold out.
Yeah, this is the quality content that people signed up for. Oh, kitten.
Nice. Well, thank you everyone for sharing your stories with us. I always enjoy reading people's lore.
I do too. It's always nice to see what people put the emphasis on in some places, and because I just like to see another aspect of and someone different's perspective, because whatever I write is obviously very different in what you think is important, or Peter you think is important, and someone's perspective is not in for another person. So
it's always nice. I'm surprised by we've never really gotten like crazy weird ones, like listener lores. Like,
you didn't think that was weird?
Well, you know, there's some words.
He thought it was going there and it never arrived.
Could you almost say that Mark was a little let down in this experience?
I wanted to get off the ride. I never got off. I was
the
going
ride, right? We're talking about the ride.
Yeah, we were going places. I thought we were going where I needed to be. Right. I just never got off.
The ride. When you say that, just make sure you add the ride. Because if you don't, it sounds like you're doing something in front of me that I don't want to be a part of at all. So,
well, lore. We did it.
We did it. Thank you, Peter, for...
Hey, anytime.
Coming and joining us as we explore the...
So you're just getting to listener lore that you received like a month in? Is that what you're saying?
Who knows? I don't know when he sent this in. I think we're like a year and a half behind right now.
Look, we got like 400 in our inbox right now.
Wow. So. Amazing.
Are you serious?
No, more like 200. We have 400 emails. I don't keep emails unless they're listener lores or something important.
Oh. Wow.
And, you know, the only thing important to me, of course, is our
listener lore.
And
yeah.
Their lore.
Absolutely.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
We're working our way through. So if you have one and you want us to share it, definitely send it to us.
Yeah.
Send it in now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Get it in the queue.
That's
the only way to kind of even get it listened. Like, Mark and I have committed to each other that we're going to push out listener lores on a much more regular schedule.
Yeah.
So
then not the next episode, because that'll be a main episode, but the one after that, we're reading a bunch of listener lores that were submitted to us.
The Halloween one you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we ran a short story a short story contest where you had to write horror for Halloween.
Cool.
And we were kind of limited to a page and a half, and so we had a couple people send it in. I think we got like 14 submissions or something. Oh, and then we just opened it to public voting and let everyone vote. And so, we're going to read the winning contestant and either a couple of our favorites or the next. Who knows? But we're definitely going to read the winning one on that. So.
Yeah, so that'll be cool. I'm looking forward to
it. It will be, yeah. We're just getting more and more into just sharing people's stuff, I think.
Well, you don't have to make content that way.
Well, yeah. These are without a doubt the easiest episodes we've ever done. Anyways, that's all she wrote?
That's all she wrote. Thanks, everyone, for supporting the show. Thanks for listening.
Yeah. Definitely, you're going to want to check out this absolutely ridiculous cat right now. Oh, my God.
And just so Peter doesn't feel bad, also for $2, you can look at Peter on Patreon.
Right, yeah.
Or if you want to pay only $1, go check out Peter's OnlyFans at... Long Daddy Peter. And you'll get your fill of Peter.
This OnlyFans does not exist. Anyways, thank you guys. Thank you, Peter. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Smolcat. And thank you to you, the listener. Oh my goodness, this could not have come at a better time.
Cat has woken up and is ready to play, so we'll leave it at that. Thanks, everyone.
That's ridiculous. That's too much. Too much.